He's bringing the boundary down. I don't think he cares about a little pass.
Caring is different from knowing, Richard said. I don't think we should be standing here, and I'm worried he might know where we're going.
Kaylin pulled the hair off her face.
What do you mean?
Richard gave her a sympathetic look.
Do you think it was your mother and sister you saw when you were in there?
I thought it was. Do you think otherwise?
I don't think that was my father.
He looked to the wizard.
What do you think?
It's impossible to say. No one really knows all that much about the underworld.
Darkin Rall knows about it, Richard said bitterly. I don't think my father would want me in that manner. But I know Rall would, so despite what my eyes tell me, it's more likely that it was Darkin Rall's disciples trying to take me. You said we couldn't go through the boundary because they were waiting for us to do so, waiting to get us. I think that was what I saw, his followers in the underworld, and they know right where I touched the wall. If I'm right, that means Rall will soon know where we are. I don't want to be here to find out if I'm right.
Richard is right, Chase said, and we have to get to Scowl Swamp before nightfall, before the Harthounds come out. It's the only safe place between here and Southhaven. We'll reach Southhaven before tomorrow night, and we'll be safe from the hounds there. The next day, we will go see a friend of mine, Addie, the Bone Woman. She lives near the pass. We need her help to get through. But tonight, our only chance is a swamp.
Richard was about to ask what a Bone Woman was, and why they needed her help to cross the boundary, when a dark, shadowy form suddenly whipped out of the air, striking Chase so hard it threw him across several downed trees. With shocking speed, the black form wrapped around Kaylin's legs, whip-like, pulling her feet from under her. She screamed Richard's name as he dove, grabbing for her. They locked their hands around each other's wrists. Both were dragged across the ground toward the boundary. Zed's fingers threw fire over their heads. It shrieked past and vanished. Another black appendage struck out at the wizard with lightning speed, knocking the old man through the air. Richard hooked a foot around a branch on a log. Rotten, it tore from the stump. He twisted his body around, trying to dig his heels into the ground. His boots slid across the wet bog weed. He jammed his heels into the earth, but wasn't strong enough to hold the two of them from being dragged across the ground. He needed his hands free.
"Put your arms around my waist!" he yelled.
Kaylin lunged, throwing her arms around him, holding tight. The sinuous black thing wrapped around her legs undulated, getting a stronger grip on her. She screamed as it squeezed. Richard yanked the sword free, filling the air with its ringing. The green light began to glow around them as they were dragged in. Anger flooded through him. Richard's worst fear was coming to pass. Something was trying to take Kaylin. The green light brightened. Being hauled across the ground, he couldn't reach the thing that pulled them. Kaylin held him hard by the waist. Her legs were too far away, and the thing that held her legs was farther still.
"Kaylin, let go of me!"
She was too terrified to do it. She clutched him tightly, desperately, panting in pain. The green sheet came up as they were dragged in. The buzzing was loud in his ears. "Let go!" he yelled again. He tried to pry her hands from his waist. The trees of the bog started to fade into darkness. Richard could feel the pressure of the wall. He couldn't believe how strongly she held him. On his back, sliding across the ground, he tried to reach behind himself to pull her wrists away from him, but could not. Their only chance was for him to get up.
"Kaylin, you have to let go or we're dead! I won't let them get you, trust me! Let go!"
He didn't know if he was telling her the truth, but he was sure it was their only chance. Her head pressed against his stomach as she clutched his body. Kaylin looked up at him, her face contorting in pain as the black thing squeezed. She screamed, then let go. In a blink, Richard was on his feet. As he jumped up, the dark wall materialized abruptly in front of him. His father reached out. He unleashed his rage, swinging the sword with every fiber of violence he possessed. The blade swept through the barrier, through the thing he knew wasn't his father. The dark shape wailed, exploding into a cloud of nothingness. Kaylin's feet were at the wall, the dark thing enfolded tightly around her legs, compressing and pulling. He brought the sword up. Murderous need surged through him.
"Richard, no! It's my sister!"
He knew it wasn't, just as it wasn't his father. He gave himself over completely to the hot need and brought the sword down as hard as he could. Again, it swept through the wall, slashed through the repulsive thing that held Kalin. There was a confusion of flashes, unearthly wailing, and keening. Kalin's legs were free. She lay sprawled on her stomach. Without looking to see what else was happening, Richard pushed his arm under her waist and lifted her in a single motion, scooping her off the ground. He held her tight against himself and held the sword toward the wall as he retreated from the boundary. Backing away steadily, he watched for any movement, any aggression. They left the green light. He kept going until they were well clear, beyond the horses. When he stopped at last and released her, Kalin turned and drew her arms around him, shaking. He had to struggle to restrain the rage that urged him to go back in and attack. He knew he would have to put the sword away to quell the anger, the need, but he didn't dare to.
"The others, where are they?" she asked in a panic. "We have to find them."
Kalin pushed away from him and started to run back. Richard snatched her by the wrist, almost yanking her from her feet.
"Stay here!"
he yelled, far more angrily than required, pushing her to the ground. Richard found Zed in a heap, unconscious. As he bent to the old man, something swept out in a rush over his head. His anger erupted. He spun with the sword, the blade sweeping through the dark form. The stump reeled back into the boundary with a shrill screeching, the severed part vaporizing in midair. Richard picked up Zed with one arm, threw him over his shoulder like a sack of grain, and carried him to Kalin, where he laid him gently on the ground. She held the wizard's head in her lap, inspecting for wounds. Richard ducked low as he ran back, but the expected attack didn't come. He wished it would. He longed for the fight, hungered to strike. He found Chase jammed partway under a log. Richard seized the mail and pulled him over. Blood oozed from a gash on the side of Chase's head. Debris was stuck to the wound. Richard's mind raced, trying to think what to do. He couldn't lift Chase with one arm, and he didn't dare to put the sword away. He did know he didn't want Kalin to come help. He wanted her to stay safely away. Getting a good grip on the warden's leather tunic, Richard started dragging him. The slick bogweed eased the effort somewhat, but it was still difficult because he had to go around several fallen trees. Surprisingly, nothing attacked. Maybe he had hurt it or killed it. He wondered if it was possible to kill something already dead. The sword had magic. Richard wasn't sure what it was capable of. He wasn't even sure if the things in the boundary were dead. He finally reached Kalin and Zed and dragged Chase close. The wizard was still unconscious. Kalin's face was white with worry.
"What are we going to do?"
Richard scanned around. "We can't stay here, and we can't leave them. Let's put them over the horses and get out of here. We'll look to their wounds as soon as we're a safe distance away." The clouds were thicker than before, and mist covered everything with a wet sheen. As he checked in every direction, Richard put the sword away and easily lifted Zed over his horse. Chase was more difficult. He was big, and all his weapons were heavy. Blood throbbed from the wound on the side of his forehead, soaking his hair and hanging him over the side of the horse made it bleed more. Richard decided he couldn't leave it untended. He quickly retrieved an alm leaf and a strip of cloth from a pack. He crumpled the leaf to make it seep its healing fluid, pressed it against the wound, and had Kalin wrap the cloth around Chase's head. The cloth soaked through almost immediately, but he knew the alm leaf would stop the bleeding in a short time. Richard helped Kalin up onto her horse. He could tell that her legs hurt more than she would admit. He gave her the reins of Zed's horse, mounted up, took Chase's horse, and then carefully got his bearings. He knew they would have a hard time finding the trail. The mist was getting heavy, visibility limited. There seemed to be ghosts watching from the shadows in every direction. He didn't know if he should lead or follow Kalin, didn't know how best to protect her, so he rode beside her. Zed and Chase weren't tied down and could easily slip off the horses, so they had to take it slow. The dead spruce looked the same in every direction, and they couldn't go in a straight line because they had to cut back and forth around fallen trees. Richard spat out mosquitoes that kept flying into his mouth. The sky was the same dark steel gray everywhere. There was no chance to tell where the sun was, to get oriented. After a time, Richard wasn't at all sure they were going in the right direction. It seemed they should have reached the trail already. He took fixes from landmark trees, and when they reached each one, he would pick a new one farther ahead, hoping they were traveling in a straight line. To do it properly, he knew he had to be able to line up at least 3 trees to make sure the line of travel was straight, but he couldn't see that far in the mist. He couldn't be sure he wasn't leading them in circles. Even if he was going in a straight line, he wasn't sure the direction was toward the trail.
"Are you sure we're going the right way?" Kaelin asked. "It all looks the same."
"No, but at least we haven't run into the boundary."
"Do you think we should stop and tend to them?"
"We don't dare. For all I know, we could be 10 feet from the underworld."
Kaelin looked around, worried. Richard gave thought to having her wait with the other two while he went ahead and scouted for the trail, but dismissed the idea, as he was afraid he might not be able to find her again. They had to stay together. He started to wonder what they would do if they couldn't find their way out before dark. How would they protect themselves against the Harthounds? If there were enough of them, even the sword couldn't hold them all off at once.
Chase had said they had to get to the swamp before nightfall. He hadn't said why or how the swamp could protect them. The brown bogweed was an endless sea all around, with hulks of trees aground in it everywhere. An oak appeared off to their left, then some more, some with leaves shimmering dark green and wet in the mist. This was not the way they had come in. Richard turned them to the right a little, following the edge of the dead bog, hoping it would lead them back to the trail. Shadows from the brush among the oaks watched them. He told himself it was his imagination that made the shadows seem to have eyes. There was no wind, no movement, no sound. He was angry with himself for being lost, despite how easily it could happen in this place. He was a guide. Getting lost was unforgivable. Richard breathed out in relief when he saw the trail at last. They quickly dismounted and checked their 2 charges. There was no change in Zed, but at least Chase's wound had stopped bleeding. Richard had no idea what to do for them. He didn't know if they had been knocked unconscious or if their condition was caused by some sort of magic from the boundary. Kaelin didn't know either.
"What do you think we should do?"
she asked him. Richard tried not to look as worried as he really was. "Chase said we had to get to the swamp or the hounds would get us. It won't do them any good to be laid out here and tended to while we wait for them to wake, only to have the hounds get us off. As I see it, we have only 2 choices, leave them here or take them with us. There is no way I'm leaving them. Let's tie them down on the horses so they don't fall off and get to the swamp."
Kaelin agreed. They worked quickly to lash their friends to the horses. Richard changed Chase's bandage and cleaned up the wound a little. The mist was changing to a light rain. He fished around in the packs, finding the blankets, and removed the oilcloth they were wrapped in. They put a blanket over each friend, then covered them with the oilcloth to keep them dry, crisscrossing rope over it all to hold it in place. When they were finished, Kaelin unexpectedly put her arms around him, hugging him close and tight for a moment, separating before he could return her gesture.
"Thank you for saving me," she said softly. "The boundary terrifies me."
She looked sheepishly up at him.
"And if you remind me what I said about not coming after me, I'll kick you."
She smiled as she looked up from under her eyebrows.
"Not a word, I promise."
He smiled back at her and pulled up the hood of her cloak, stuffing her hair into it to keep her dry in the rain. He pulled up his own hood and they started off down the road. The woods were deserted. Rain dripped down through the tangle overhead. Branches reached round the trail like talons, reaching to snatch both people and horses. Even without their riders' direction, the horses trotted their way carefully down the center of the road, their ears pricking from one side to the other as if listening to the shadows. So dense was the thicket to each side that there was no chance they could take to the trees if they had to. Kaelin drew her cloak tighter. It was go on or go back.
and there was no going back. They rode the horses hard the rest of the afternoon and evening. When the day's death began stealing away the soft gray light, they still had not reached the swamp, and there was no way to tell how much farther it was. Off through the tangled woods, they caught the sound of howling. Their breath caught in their throats. The hart hounds were coming. Chapter 15. The horses needed no encouragement to run. They fled down the road at full speed, their riders making no attempt to slow them, the howls of the hart hounds energizing the effort. Water and mud splashed as their hooves pounded the road, and rain ran in rivulets across their hides, but it was the mud that won out, streaking and caking on their legs and bellies. When the hounds shrieked, the horses returned a snort of fear. Richard let Kaelin take the lead, wanting to stay between her and their pursuers. The sounds of the hart hounds were still distant, off toward the boundary, but he knew by the way they were angling in from the left that it was only a matter of time until they would be overtaken. If they could turn to the right and head away from the boundary, there was a chance they could outrun the hounds, but the woods were thick, impenetrable. It would be slow going if they could find an opening, a sure death if they tried. Their only chance was to stay on the road and reach the swamp before they were caught. Richard didn't know how far it was or what they would do once they reached it, only that they had to. The colors of day were washing out into a sullen gray as night approached. Rain pelted his face in small, cold pricks, heated and mingled with sweat, and ran down his neck. Richard watched the bodies of his two friends bounce and jostle on the horses, hoping they were tied down securely enough, hoping they were not badly hurt, hoping they would be conscious soon. The ride couldn't be doing them any good. Kaelin didn't turn or look back. She bent to her task, her dark form hunched forward over the horse as it ran. The road curved back and forth as it threaded its way around imposing, misshapen oaks and rock outcroppings. Dead trees became more infrequent. Leaves of the oak, ash, and maple trees sealed the riders away from the last vestiges of the sky, darkening the trail even more. The hounds were getting closer when the road began to descend into a sodden wood of cedar. A good sign, Richard thought. Cedar often grew where the ground was wet. Kaelin's horse disappeared over the edge of a drop. Richard reached the brink of the sharp slope and saw her again, descending into a bowl in the earth. The tangled tops of trees spread out into the distance, at least as much of it as he could see in the mist and dim light. It was the Scow Swamp at last. The smell of wet and rot assailed him as he followed her in a rush down through swirling trailers of mist that moved and spun at their passing. Sharp calls and hoots came from the dense vegetation. The howls of the hart hounds came from behind, closer now. Woody vines hung from slick, twisted limbs of trees that stood in the water on roots looking like claws, and smaller, leafy vines spiraled around anything strong enough to hold them. Everything seemed to be growing on top of something else, seeking to gain an advantage. Water, dark and still, sat in stagnant expanses, sneaking in under clumps of bushes, enveloping stands of fat-bottomed trees. Duckweed drifted in thick mats on the water, looking like manicured lawn. The lush growth seemed to swallow the sound of their horses' hooves, allowing only the native calls to echo across the waters. The road narrowed into a trail that struggled to remain above the black water, making it necessary to slow the horses for fear they would break a leg on the roots. Richard saw that as Kaelin's horse passed, the surface of the water rolled in lazy ripples as things moved under it. He heard the hounds at the top of the bowl. Kaelin turned at the howls. If they stayed on the trail, the hounds would be at them in a matter of minutes. As Richard looked around, he pulled the sword free. It sent its distinctive ringing across the murky water. Kaelin stopped and looked back to him. There, he pointed with the sword across the water to the right. That island, it looks high enough to be dry. Maybe the hart hounds can't swim. He thought it a slim hope, but could think of nothing else. Chase had said they would be safe from the hounds in the swamp, but hadn't told them how. This was the only thing he could think of. Kaylin didn't hesitate. She led her horse right in, pulling Zed's behind. Richard followed close after with Chase's, watching up the trail, seeing movement through gaps in the trees. The water seemed to be no more than 3 or 4 feet deep, with a muddy bottom. Weed broke from its anchoring and floated to the surface as Kaylin's horse waded through ahead of him, making steady progress to the island. Then he saw the snakes. Dark bodies wriggled in the water just below the surface, heading toward them from every direction. Some lifted their heads, flicking red tongues out into the damp air. Their dark brown bodies had copper-colored splotches, almost invisible in the gloomy water, and barely disturbed the surface as they swam. Richard had never seen snakes this big. Kaylin was watching the island and hadn't noticed them yet. The dry land was too far away. He knew they weren't going to make it before the snakes reached them. Richard turned and looked behind to see if they could make it back to high ground. Where they had left the trail, the dark shapes of the harthounds were gathered, snarling and growling. Heads held low, the big black bodies paced back and forth, wanting to enter the water to reach their prey, but only howling instead. Richard lowered the tip of the sword into the water, letting it drag a small wake behind as he prepared to strike at the first snake that came close enough. Then a surprising thing happened. When the sword dipped into the water, the snakes turned suddenly and squirmed away as fast as they could go. Somehow, the magic in the sword frightened them away. He wasn't sure why the magic would function this way, but was glad it did. They worked their way among the large trunks of trees that stood like columns in the mire. Each in turn brushed aside vines and streamers of moss as they passed. When they crossed shallower areas of water, the tip of his sword no longer reached the water. The snakes returned immediately. He leaned lower, the sword's tip dipping back in the water, and the snakes turned once more, wanting nothing to do with them. Richard wondered what would happen when they reached dry land. Would the snakes follow them there? Would the sword's magic work to keep them away out of the water? The snakes might be as much trouble as the harthounds. Water ran off the underside of Kaylin's horse as it climbed up onto the island. There were a few poplar trees at the high point in the center and cedars at the water's edge on the far side of the small hump of dry ground, but mostly it was covered with reed and a smattering of iris. To see what would happen, Richard took the sword from the water before he needed to. The snakes began to come for him. When he left the water, some turned and swam away, some wandered the shoreline, but none followed onto dry land. In near darkness, Richard laid Zed and Chase on the ground beneath the poplars. He pulled a tarp from the packs and strung it between the trees to make a small shelter. Everything was wet, but since there was no wind, the makeshift structure kept most of the rain off them. There was no chance of a fire for now, since all the wood that could be found was thoroughly soaked. At least the night wasn't cold. Frogs kept up a steady chirping from the wet darkness. Richard placed a pair of fat candles on a piece of wood so they could have some light under their shelter. Together, they checked Zed. There didn't seem to be any sign of an injury, but he remained unconscious. Chase's condition was unchanged, too. Kaylin stroked Zed's forehead. "It is not a good sign for a wizard's eyes to be closed like this. I don't know what to do for them." Richard shook his head. "Neither do I. We can be glad they don't have a fever. Maybe there's a healer in South Haven. I'll make litters the horses can pull. I think that would be better than having them ride again the way they did today." Kaylin retrieved 2 more blankets to keep their friends warm. Then she and Richard sat together by the candles, the water dripping around them. Glowing pairs of yellow eyes waited on the trail, in the blackness back through the trees. As the harthounds paced, the eyes moved back and forth. Occasionally, Richard and Kaylin heard yelps of frustration. The two of them watched their hunters off across the dark water. Kaylin stared at the glowing eyes. "I wonder why they didn't follow us." Richard glanced sideways at her. "I think they're afraid of the snakes." Kaylin jumped to her feet, quickly scanning around, her head pushing against the tarp. "Snakes!
What snakes? I don't like snakes, she said in a rush.
He looked up. Some kind of big water snakes. They swam off when I put the sword in the water. I don't think we have to worry. They didn't come up on the dry ground when we did. I think it's safe.
She looked around cautiously as she pulled her cloak tight and then sat down, closer to him this time.
You could have warned me about them, she said with a frown.
I didn't know myself until I saw them, and the hounds were right behind us. I didn't think we had much choice in the matter, and I didn't want to scare you.
She didn't say anything more. Richard got out a sausage and a loaf of hard bread, their last one. He tore the bread in half and cut pieces off the sausage, handing her a few. They each held a tin cup under the rainwater that dripped off the tarp. They ate in silence, watching all around for any sign of threat, listening to the rhythm of the rain.
Richard, she asked at last, did you see my sister in the boundary?
No. Whatever it was that had you didn't look like a person to me, and I would bet that the thing I struck down at first didn't look like my father to you.
She shook her head that it didn't.
I think, he said, they just appear in a form meant to recreate a person you want to see, to beguile you.
I think you're right, she sighed, taking a bite of sausage. When she finished chewing, she added, I'm glad. I would hate to think we had to hurt them.
He nodded his agreement and looked over. Her hair was wet and some of it was stuck to the side of her face.
There's something else, though, that I think is odd. When that thing from the boundary, whatever it was, struck out at Chase, it was fast and it hit him square the first time. And before we could do anything, it grabbed you with no trouble. Same with Zed, it got him the first time. But when I went back for them, it tried for me and missed. Then it didn't even try again.
I noticed that when it happened, she said. It missed you by a good distance. It was as if it didn't know where you were. It knew right where the three of us were, but it couldn't seem to find you.
Richard thought a moment.
Maybe it was the sword.
Kaelin shrugged. Whatever it was, I am happy for it.
He wasn't at all sure it was the sword. The snakes had been afraid of the sword and swam away from it. The thing in the boundary had shown no fear. It seemed as if it simply couldn't find him. There was one other thing that he wondered at. When he had struck down the thing in the boundary that looked like his father, he had felt no pain. Zed had told him there would be a price to pay for killing with the sword, and that he would feel the pain of what he had done. Maybe there was no pain because the thing was already dead. Maybe it was all in his head. None of it was real. That couldn't be. It was real enough to strike down his friends. His self-assurance that it wasn't his father he had cut down began to waver. They ate the rest of the meal in silence while he thought about what he could do for Zed and Chase, which was nothing. Zed had medicines along, but only Zed knew how to use them. Maybe it was magic from the boundary that had struck them down. Zed had magic along too, but he was also the only one who knew how to use that. Richard took out an apple and cut it into wedges, removed the seeds, and gave half to Kaelin. She moved closer and leaned her head on his arm as she ate it.
Tired? He asked.
She nodded, then smiled.
And I am sore in places I cannot mention.
She ate another wedge of apple.
Do you know anything about South Haven?
I've heard other guides mention it when they passed through Heartland. From what they say, it's a place of thieves and misfits.
It doesn't sound like the kind of place that would have a healer.
Richard didn't answer.
What will we do then?
I don't know, but they'll get better. They'll be all right.
And if not, she pressed.
He took the apple away from his mouth and looked at her.
Kaelin, what are you trying to say?
I'm saying that we have to be prepared to leave them, to go on.
We can't, he answered firmly. We need them both. Remember when Zed gave me the sword? He said he wanted me to get us across the boundary. He said he had a plan. He hasn't told me what that plan is.
He looked out over the water at the hounds.
We need them, he repeated.
She picked at the skin of the apple wedge.
What if they were to die tonight? Then what would we do? We would have to go on.
Richard knew she was looking up at him, but he didn't look back. He understood her need to stop Rawl.
He felt the same hunger and would let nothing stop them, even if it meant leaving his friends. But it hadn't reached that point yet. He knew she was only trying to reassure herself that he had the necessary conviction, the required determination. She had given up much to her mission, lost much to Rahl, as he had. She wanted to know he had the ability to go on, at any cost, to lead. The candles lit her face softly, a small glow in the darkness. Reflections of the flames danced in her eyes. He knew she didn't like saying these things to him. "Kaelin, I'm the Seeker. I understand the weight of that responsibility. I will do anything required to stop Darkin Rahl. Anything. You can place your faith in that. I will not, however, spend the lives of my friends easily. For now, we have enough to worry about. Let's not invent new things." Rain dripped into the water from trees, sending hollow echoes through the darkness. She put her hand on his arm as if to say she was sorry. He knew she had nothing to be sorry for. She was only trying to face the truth, one possible truth, anyway. He wanted to reassure her. "If they don't get better," he said, holding her eyes with his, "and if there is a safe place to leave them, with someone we can trust, then we will do so and go on." She nodded. "That is all I meant." "I know." He finished his apple. "Why don't you get some sleep? I'll keep watch." "I couldn't sleep," she said, indicating the harthounds with a nod of her head. "Not with them watching us like that, or with snakes all around." Richard smiled at her. "All right, then. How about if you help me build the litters for the horses to pull? That way we can get out of here in the morning as soon as the hounds are gone." She returned the smile and got up. Richard retrieved a wicked-looking war axe from Chase and found it worked as well on wood as on flesh and bone. He wasn't at all sure Chase would approve of putting one of his prized weapons to use in this fashion. In fact, he knew he wouldn't. He smiled to himself. He couldn't wait to tell him. In his mind, he could picture his big friend's disapproving frown. Of course, Chase would have to embellish the story with every telling. To Chase, a story without embellishment was like meat without gravy, just plain dry. His friends had to get better, he told himself. They just had to. He couldn't bear it if they died. It was several hours before they were finished. Kaelin stayed close to him, as she was afraid of the snakes, and the harthounds watched them the whole time. For a while, Richard had thought to use Chase's crossbow to try to get some of the hounds, but finally decided against it. Chase would be angry at him for squandering valuable bolts to no purpose. The hounds couldn't get them and would be gone with the light. When they were finished, they checked the other two, then sat down together again by the candles. He knew Kaelin was tired. He could hardly keep his own eyes open, but she still didn't want to lie down to sleep, so he had her lean against him. In no time, her breathing slowed and she was asleep. It was a fitful sleep. He could tell she was having bad dreams. When she started whimpering and jerking, he woke her. She was breathing rapidly and almost in tears. "Nightmares?" he asked, stroking her hair reassuringly with the backs of his fingers. Kaelin nodded against him. "I was dreaming about the thing from the boundary that was around my legs. I dreamt it was a big snake." Richard put his arm around her shoulders and hugged her tight against him. She didn't object, but pulled her knees up and put her arms around them as she nuzzled against him. He worried that she could hear his heart pounding. If she did, she didn't say anything and was soon fast asleep again. He listened to her breathing, to the frogs, and to the rain. She slept peacefully. He closed his fingers around the tooth under his shirt. He watched the harthounds. They watched back. She woke sometime near morning when it was still dark. Richard was so tired he had a headache. Kaelin insisted he lie down and sleep while she kept watch. He didn't want to. He wanted to continue holding her, but was too sleepy to argue. When she gently shook him awake, it was morning. Weak, gray light filtered through the dark green of the swamp and through heavy mist that made the world seem small and close. The water around them looked as if it had been steeped with decayed vegetation, a brew that rippled occasionally with unseen life beneath the surface. Unblinking black eyes pushed up through the duckweed, watching them. "The harthounds are gone," she said. She looked drier than she had last night.
"How long?"
he asked, rubbing the cramps out of his arms.
20, maybe 30 minutes. When it got light, they suddenly went off in a rush.
Kaylin gave him a tin cup of hot tea. Richard gave her a questioning look. She smiled.
"I held it over the candle until it was hot."
He was surprised at her inventiveness. She gave him a piece of dried fruit and ate some herself. He noticed the war axe leaning against her leg and thought to himself that she knew how to stand watch. It was still raining gently. Strange birds called out sharply in rapid, ragged shrieks from across the swamp, while others answered in the distance. Bugs hovered inches above the water, and occasionally there was an unseen splash.
"Any change in Zed or Chase?" he asked.
She seemed reluctant to answer.
"Zed's breathing is slower."
Richard quickly went and checked. Zed seemed hardly alive. His face had a sunken, ashen look. He put an ear to the old man's chest and found his heart to be beating normally, but he was breathing slower, and he felt cold and clammy.
"I think we must be safe from the hounds now. We had better get going and see if we can find them some help," he said.
Richard knew she was afraid of the snakes. He was, too, and told her so, but she didn't let it interfere with what they had to do. She put her trust in what he said, that the snakes wouldn't come near the sword, and crossed the water without hesitation when he told her to go. They had to traverse the water twice, once with Zed and Chase, and a second time to retrieve the parts for the litters, as they could only be used on dry land. They hooked up the poles to the horses, but couldn't use them yet, as the tangle of roots on the swamp trail would cause too jolting a ride. They would have to wait until they were on a better road, once they were clear of the swamp. It was mid-morning before they reached the better road. They stopped long enough to lay their two fallen friends in the litters and cover them with blankets and oilcloth. Richard was pleased to discover that the pole arrangement worked well. It didn't slow them at all, and the mud helped them slide along nicely. He and Kaylin ate lunch on their horses, passing food back and forth as they rode next to each other. They stopped only to check on Zed and Chase and continued on through the rain. Before night came, they reached South Haven. The town was little more than a collection of ramshackle buildings and houses fit crookedly in among the oaks and beech, almost as if to turn themselves away from the road, from queries, from righteous eyes. None looked ever to have seen paint. Some had tin patches that drummed in the steady rain. Set in the center of the huddle was a supply store, and next to it, a two-story building. A clumsily carved sign proclaimed it to be an inn, but offered no name. Yellow lamplight coming from windows downstairs was the only color standing out from the grayness of the day and the building. Heaps of garbage leaned drunkenly against the side of the building, and the house next door tilted in sympathy with the rubbish pile.
"Stay close to me," Richard said as they dismounted. "The men here are dangerous."
Kaylin smiled oddly with one side of her mouth.
"I'm used to their kind."
Richard wondered what that meant, but didn't ask. Talking trailed off when they went through the door, and all faces turned. The place was about what Richard expected. Oil lamps lit a room filled with a fog of pungent pipe smoke. Tables, all arranged in a haphazard fashion, were rough, some no more than planks on barrels. There were no chairs, only benches. To the left, a door stood closed, probably leading to the kitchen. To the right, in the shadows, leading up to the guest rooms, was a stairway minus a handrail. The floor, with a series of paths through the litter, was mottled with dark stains and spills. The men were a rough collection of trappers and travelers and trouble. Many had unkempt beards, most were big. The place smelled of ale and smoke and sweat. Kaelin stood tall and proud next to him. She was a person not easily intimidated. Richard reasoned that perhaps she should be. She stuck out among the riffraff like a gold ring on a beggar. Her bearing made the room even more of an embarrassment. When she pushed back the hood of her cloak, grins broke out all around, revealing a collection of crooked and missing teeth. The hungry looks in the men's eyes didn't fit the smiles. Richard wished Chase were awake. With a sinking feeling, he realized there was going to be trouble. A stout man walked over and halted. He wore a shirt with no sleeves and an apron that looked like it could never have been white. The top of his shiny, shaved head reflected the lamplight, and the curly black hair on his thick arms seemed in competition with his beard. He wiped his hands on a filthy rag before flopping it over a shoulder.
"Something I can do for you?"
the man asked in a dry voice. His tongue rolled a toothpick across his mouth as he waited. With his own tone and eyes, Richard let the man know he would brook no trouble.
"There a healer in this town?"
The proprietor shifted his glance to Kaelin and then back to Richard.
"No."
Richard noted the way, unlike the other men, the man kept his eyes where they belonged when he looked at Kaelin. It told him something important.
"Then we would like a room."
He lowered his voice. "We have two friends outside who are hurt." Taking the toothpick out of his mouth, the man folded his arms.
"I don't need any trouble."
"Nor do I," Richard said with deliberate menace. The bald man looked Richard up and down, his eyes snagging for an instant on the sword. With his arms still folded, he appraised Richard's eyes.
"How many rooms you want? I'm pretty full."
"One will do fine." In the center of the room, a big man stood. From a mass of long, stringy red hair, he looked out with mean eyes that were set too close together. The front of his thick beard was wet with ale. He wore a wolf hide over one shoulder. His hand rested on the handle of a long knife.
"Expensive looking whore you got there, boy," the red-haired man said. "I don't suppose you'd mind if we came up to your room and passed her around some."
Richard locked his glare on the man. He knew this was a challenge that would only be ended with blood. His eyes didn't move. His hand did, slowly, toward the sword. His rage pounded, fully awake even before his fingers reached the hilt. This was the day he was going to have to kill other men. A lot of other men. Richard's grip tightened around the braided wire hilt until his knuckles were white. Kaelin gave a steady pull on the sleeve of his sword arm. She spoke his name in a low tone, raising the inflection at the end, the way his mother did when she was warning him to stay out of something. He stole a glance at her. She gave a luscious smile to the red-haired man.
"You men have it all wrong," she said in a throaty voice. "You see, this is my day off. I'm the one who hired him for the night."
She smacked Richard on the rear. Hard. It surprised him so much he froze. She licked her top lip as she looked at the red-haired man.
"But if he doesn't give me my money's worth, well, you will be the first I will call to fill the breach."
She smiled lasciviously. There was a thick moment of silence. Richard resisted mightily his need to pull the sword free. He held his breath as he waited to see which way it was going to go. Kaelin continued to smile at the men in a way that only made his anger deepen. Life and death measured each other in the red-haired man's eyes. No one moved. Then a grin split his face, and he roared with laughter. Everyone else hooted and hollered and laughed. The man sat down, and the men started talking again, ignoring Richard and Kaelin. Richard breathed out in a sigh. The proprietor eased the two of them back a ways. He gave Kaelin a smile of respect. Thank you, ma'am. I'm glad your head is faster than your friend's hand. This place may not seem much to you, but it's mine, and you just kept it in one piece for me. You are welcome, Kaelin said. Do you have a room for us?